Good evening. Good morning. Thank you for tuning into the best in overnight talk radio. Tonight, Ouija board. It's just a game, right? Well, we're talking with Ouija board historian Robert Murch about the strange communication board. We're also talking with Darren Evans, who has had a very dark history with the Ouija board, dealing with an entity referring to himself as Zozo. Darren's been collecting stories for years from people all around the world that have claimed to have encountered this entity, and we're going to hear some of those stories in the next segment. We'll also open up phone lines at the bottom of the hour. If you've ever had an encounter with Zozo or Zaza using the Ouija board, freaky stories of your own, you can give us a call and share them here on Coast to Coast. A little later in the show, we'll hear about some strange criminal cases, murder and other crimes that were inspired by the Ouija board. Bob Murch has got a bunch of those stories to share with us this evening as well. That's all coming up. And if you've missed any part of tonight's show and you'd like to be able to catch up, it's real easy to do. Just go to coasttocoastam.com and become a Coast Insider. For literally about 15 cents a day, you'll get access to the past 5 years of archive shows. You'll get access to live chats with George Norrie and other hosts of Coast to Coast AM and some of the most fascinating guests. You'll be able to see all of the past information, news segments, photographs, all the great information collected in one place. Again, go become a Coast Insider at coasttocoastam.com and never miss another minute in the best in overnight talk radio. If you'd like to join me tonight and be a part of the show, you can send me emails at dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. And stop by my website right now and you can join our live chat and get involved with other like-minded individuals interested in the strange and supernatural phenomena. So go check it out, darknessradio.com, for our free live chat right on the front page. We'll be back with more Coast to Coast AM right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. Tonight, we're talking about the Ouija board, and we're talking about the Zozo phenomena here in the first 2 hours of the show. We're going to open up phone lines in a little bit. If you've ever had an experience with this or if you have any questions for our guest regarding this, you can certainly call in and be a part of the show. Darren, let's start talking about some of these stories that you've collected from experiencers around the world. Are all of the stories dark, or does this character ever come through as kind of funny, goofy, weird? I mean, or is it always something of a malevolent nature?
There's tricksters out there. I'm sure some of the stories that have been sent to me were fabricated. I've been able to, verify various ones that you can just tell, strangely, people that experience this often, experience synchronicity. And with me, it's always been the one or the 11 or the 11-11. It's strange. It's 1:12 here in Oklahoma, and 1:11, I just received an email in my inbox, and I've been sitting there trying to read it as I'm talking to you. I get very, very strange experiences. Let me, if you don't mind, I'll just read this one aloud.
Please.
Dear Mr. Evans, this happened to my daughter starting when she was 12. Her friends had watched some Zozo videos on YouTube while on an educational trip to Washington, D.C. The girls were all staying in one hotel room, and the adult chaperones, as her mom, I was also a chaperone, were in a different room. One of the girls got the idea they should go try to communicate with Zozo. Although they did not have a Ouija board, the girls all sat in a circle in a dark room, and one of them said, "If Zozo's here, show us a sign of something red." At that moment, my daughter got a terrible nosebleed, which took several minutes to stop. All the girls were shaken up, but they tried to get some sleep since we had a busy day the next day. My daughter was lying in the bed with her friend, and her friend started shaking in her sleep very violently, almost like a seizure. The girls woke up her friend and ran to get a chaperone, which is also a nurse. She managed to calm this girl down, but her eyes were very glassy, and she didn't seem to like herself or seem like herself. The girls tried to sleep again, but all claimed to have seen upside-down crosses on the wall and an apparition of a girl with braided hair who was wearing a dirty white dress. Honestly, I blew them off, but I told them to stop playing with spirits, as no good could come from it. After we returned home, my daughter started complaining of dark shadows floating around in the ceiling corners of the bedroom. She claimed to hear a voice call her name. I gave her a font of holy water for her bedroom, told her to pray if it happened. At this point, I didn't really believe anything real was happening, but I thought the holy water and prayers might help with what I thought was an overactive imagination. A few months later, my daughter had to have extensive surgery to repair her ACL and meniscus in her right knee. Before the surgery, she complained of the shadow activity intensifying. Again, I blew it off. Well, what should have been a routine surgery became a nightmare. Although her doctor was top-notch, she developed an extremely rare Klebsiella pneumonia infection, 1 in 1,000 odds at the surgical site. Despite her constant fever and numerous trips to the ER, it wasn't detected until 3 weeks later. The ER docs misread her lab report. It took her pediatrician noticing the abnormally high CPR levels to know that she had a serious problem. All the while, she was still seeing these shadows. She ended up being admitted to the emergency room to wash out her knee. The doctor had to flush her knee out with 9 liters of antibiotic fluid. We had to consult with an infectious disease specialist. She had to have a PICC line placed in her arm so she could receive an 8-week course of daily intravenous antibiotic infusions. At this point, we put her name on our parish's prayer list, had many people, including everyone at the Catholic school she attends, praying for her. She had an extremely rare fever reaction to the first intravenous antibiotic the doctor tried. We were very fortunate that her infection responded to the second antibiotic treatment. At the end of her ordeal, she was left with a much smaller, much weaker right leg. She missed over much of school. Her skin was incredibly pale and blue. Veining was evident. She had bags in her eyes. She still sees the shadows occasionally, but it has subsided. I have a blessed crucifix hanging outside her bedroom door, and she has the St. Michael the Archangel prayer posted on her bulletin board. She says a prayer whenever she sees the shadows. Anyway, this is my daughter's story. Although there was no Ouija board involved, I have no doubt that she and her friends opened the door to demonic spirits when they asked those of her to show its presence. I also believe she was, and still is, to a lesser degree, being harassed by them. Praying to St. Michael that has helped. Please email me if you have any questions. Now, these are the types. This one's kind of unique because it doesn't involve a Ouija board. However, I'm noticing a tendency in a lot of the contacts or a lot of the emails that I've received that this thing is showing up outside of the Ouija board, such as in Android apps, dealing with the ghost apps that are coming out, in ghost box sessions, in automatic writing sessions, and in dreams. And that's pretty disturbing to me, Dave, is because it's kind of escaped from the Ouija board, and it's kind of become something that appears to be trying to communicate outside of the board.
Bob, it's got to make you wonder, right? I mean, the psychology of this. Once you do introduce it, are you more intrigued with stories where somebody knew nothing about Zozo and they were getting messages first and then did research and found out that other people were having this phenomena? Or do you think it's intriguing that people researched it and then began getting communication from the entity?
Well, this is the problem, and Darren and I have talked about this, you know, many times, and that's once it's on the internet, it's so hard to tell. I mean, think of all the things you read and don't really remember, right? There's a lot of stuff coming at you.
So right.
It's possible that these people who say, I've never heard of Zozo before, have, and they just don't know it. So when they play the Ouija board, it's in their subconscious and it comes out. So unfortunately today, it's so hard to pull apart with how quickly things burn through the internet and they see stories and you know, we've talked about it before that the Ouija board is often people's first experience with the paranormal. And when you have a first experience, you don't know what you're doing. You have no idea how it's going to work. And when you're younger, you know, you often do kind of really unthoughtful things and you want to be scared. That's why we play the Ouija board, that there's a possibility that things are going to go a little wrong. And so now we have people kind of calling upon Zozo, not just running into him or him making contact, but we have people who are actually trying to reach out to him, you know, through these apps or these other things, but definitely through the Ouija board. So it doesn't surprise me that we're hearing more and more about it. And, you know, I think that's why the Ghost Adventurers went down there to investigate. They wanted to find out what this was really all about.
Right. The Travel Channel TV series Ghost Adventures will air an episode about the Zozo phenomena on, I believe, October 18th, where they went to this house where you originally found that board. Is that right, Darren?
No, this isn't the house where the double-sided board was found. There was some experimentation done in this home. Very strange house, the way it's all, in the construction of it, in the basement, and the previous, you know, when I moved in, there was everybody's, the previous renter's furniture was all there. They left a bunch of expensive personal belongings. They just disappeared. And I thought that was strange, and then as we moved in, and all these things began to happen, it really caused me to really realize that, and other paranormal researchers that have investigated this phenomenon have reported to me some weird things that have happened. And so that, while the original board wasn't found there, there was some Ouija board use in that house, and you can hear all about it this on October 18th.
You used the board. You were having experiences with this creature. I mean, how long did you actually use the board actively yourself, or any Ouija boards, and do you continue to use them, Darren?
I very, very rarely use them. Back in my teens and in my 20s, I was literally obsessed with the board to the point where I was the guy that would bring it over to your house if you didn't believe in spirits. And I don't ever remember one time that I wasn't able to, through the conversations with this thing, to make things happen and to guess people's, middle names and their great-grandfather's names. And this type of things, happened repeatedly. And I don't think it was one time that I never actually convinced through a Ouija board that the spirit realm was real or was not real. I had a strange obsession with it. I actually developed big shoulder muscles from actually using the planchet for hours at a time and trying to. I lost a lot of friends because of it. I became just totally obsessed with it. And I've run across people, through conversation, through, my emails and stuff that, there's a lot of other people that are obsessed with it as well, and it can lead to an obsession. It can lead to what I believe spirit attachment, and the fact that when I do put my finger on a planchet, and it's there like it's never left, and it would tell me it was going to be with me forever. And these types of things can really mess with you, and it can and for whatever reason. Speaking with a good friend, Vera Kuzmanova, who's also a Zozo experiencer. She has some fascinating insight as to what her experiences are, and it's almost like there's a connection between the people that experience this and the similarities, and that's what I try to bridge. And it's just been it's almost overwhelming. I call myself a zoologist, and I'm the guy that when people do experience this, they look it up on the internet, they see my website, and they contact me, and I just don't know what to tell all these people. For the most part, I do try to educate them and give them my opinions on this, and I try to be as honest and forthcoming as I can. But I honestly I can't tell you how to get rid of this thing once it becomes attached to you. And the other experiencers say the same thing. Every time they get on a board, it comes back. It's very hard for them to get other spirit entities. And Robert was discussing the mama entity, which often comes through as well. In a lot of these Zozo encounters, there's the mama. They often play a tug of war match on the board for control of the board, and then a lot of exorcists claim that these demons, not unlike wolves, travel in packs, and so we're finding that in some of these Ouija encounters.
Bob, why does the human element have to be a part of it? If it's really a spirit or demonic moving this planchette, why doesn't the planchette just spell things out by itself on the board?
Well, that's a great question. And so in order for a Ouija or talking board to work, there has to be human contact. And this is what some people feel makes it more dangerous than, say, using a ghost box, a K2 meter, or an EVP recorder, is that some people believe that because you're touching the planchette, you have to be part of the equation, that the spirit or entity is actually coming through you, that there's a form of possession that's actually making your hands move. And that's where, again, some people believe it's more dangerous than just calling out or conjuring, trying to make contact with just words. Because, as we know, there's plenty of mediums who don't need any tools. They believe they're speaking to something without the use of anything other than themselves. But a Ouija board is a little special because it tends to work better with the more people that are there. So there's theories that it's drawing upon all the energies around to make this manifestation of communication. And it's very interesting. Same thing with your subconscious, though. Psychologists would say what's happening is a super unconscious is being created, that when multiple people play the Ouija board, that it's kind of like when you throw a bunch of people together and you lock the door, we start to see the people's personalities come out, and there tends to be a leader, and everyone else falls into place. Same thing happens with the board. Strangers are using it. It's very jerky in the beginning, and then slowly it starts to play out. Everyone starts to fall in place. There's a leader, and then there's people who are following. What's interesting is after that keeps going for a while, you can pull the leader out, and it still continues to go just like it did while they were there. So it's really hard. This is one of those mysteries that's been around for a long, long, long time.
You would think, yeah, I mean, if you need contact with it, you need the human element, which is what we found in some of the different equipment that's been used. Bill Chappell from digitaldowsing.com and ghostshop.com, he creates a lot of different technology to try to bridge that gap, to communicate. And we find that when he's tried to remove the human element, create something that, you know, the human can't interfere with, he notices that it doesn't, it's not as interactive. It's back when the human is holding it, or, you know, there's something involved with the human touch, that it seems to almost come alive. Have you ever seen experiments done where maybe the fingers are just placed on the board and the planchette is left in the middle? If we were all sitting around the board touching the board, does that have any influence on the planchette?
Well, we know there are things like noetic sciences, that science has proven that if you are in the presence of freezing water and you are in a horribly angry, awful mood, that the crystals form a particular design. They freeze in a certain way. And we also know that if you're in a really happy, peaceful, amazingly low-key mood, they freeze in a different design. So we know that your feelings, your thoughts, have a physical impact in the physical world to a small degree. And some people, maybe they have it to a bigger degree. Maybe some people are more sensitive. And scientists do agree that when you use the Ouija board, you are opening up something. There's a doorway that's being opened. And they would say that it's to your subconscious, but perhaps it's actually to another part in your brain, which either allows this contact or creates this contact. I mean, it's also equally likely that our subconsciouses and our brains are creating this entity, and that it catches on like fear. And so, you know, the story's passed on and other people read about it, and then boom, they're having it as well. And you know, it makes it no less amazing to me that this is something that your mind can create than you're talking to something from another dimension.
Darren, we've got about a minute and a half left in this segment. You touched on something. You said you got obsessed with this. Do you find a lot of the board users who deal with the Zozo phenomena, do they become almost addicted to this type of communication? Because I would guess once I start communicating with it and it's being negative, I just put the board away and be done with it.
Well, a lot of times, you know, they believe that, you know, this thing tells them that it's their guardian angel. And the communication often starts out, you know, in a friendly manner. And then at some point in time later on in the conversation, in the communication, it will shift its entire personification. It will become evil, it will cuss, there will be blasphemous exchanges. And then it has a way of reeling you in, you know. And I remember getting cuss matches with this thing, and it was spelling things out in Latin. I mean, it's just incredible. The intelligence that it shows, you know, serial killers and rapists often talk about the voices in their head, you know, that prompt them to, you know, to commit crimes. You know, I think it's these voices, you know, I believe that they're telepathic messages sent from, you know, the demonic realms. I mean, they're not, in my opinion, they're not really necessarily being generated from an area inside the brain. The part of the brain where the voices are being recorded is like the final receiving end of the transmission. It's like a soul in a body is likened to a radio. Most know that the music does not originate through the box, but appears to do so to those who are uninformed. It's just incredible the encounters that people have had with this thing and then relaying them to me. And it's just very, you know, individual, but it does mess with people psychologically. And
so, well, let's give the callers a chance to share their encounters. Have you ever spoken to the Zozo or Zaza entity? We want to hear from you now on Coast to Coast AM. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this. Thank you for joining me. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Dave Schrader. If you like the strange and the supernatural, then you can join me five nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. until midnight central. You can stream the show right from our website at darknessradio.com. Or if you're in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, we're on AM 1130, 103.5 FM, the Twin Cities News Talk Station. But if you check out darknessradio.com and you stream it from the iHeartRadio application, you can listen to our show from 9 to midnight central. But then stay tuned, because as soon as Darkness Radio wraps up, George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM takes you into the night with more strange and bizarre tales. That's right, Darkness Radio and Coast to Coast AM, a perfect blend. The best in paranormal and the best in overnight talk radio together. Check it out. We're talking Ouija board tonight. We want to hear your experiences, the Zozo phenomena. And a little bit later, we're going to be talking about strange crimes committed in the name of Ouija. I did get an interesting email during the break. It says, Dave, there was a moment I was alone and found my old talking board, and I asked if anyone was there. It spelled out the name Megan Pauley. I went upstairs, opened the newspaper. This was back in 1993, and there was a story about a group of teenagers that all killed themselves. The last victim listed was Megan Pauley, whom shot herself on October 10th, 1993. The hair on my arms stood up, and I never touched the board again. That comes to me from Tom in Michigan. If you'd like to share your stories, you can email them in at dave@darknessradio.com, or you can give us a call and share your stories. We'll be back with Bob Murch and Darren Evans and your calls about the Ouija board and the Zozo phenomena right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. My guests for the evening, Bob Murch, he's a Ouija board historian, and Darren Evans, he is with us talking about the Zozo phenomena. He's a Zozoologist and has spent many years researching this, collecting stories of the strange. Let me ask you, Bob, the idea of the Ouija, I mean, it's a collaborative effort. It seems many people coming together, putting their fingers on the planchette, making this work. Are there many people that are very successful working the board by themselves?
Yeah, you know, it's not usually something that works right away for people from what they tell me. So it's usually that they start to use it with a bunch of people, and that seems to work better. And then they slowly pare themselves down until they're able to do it themselves. However, you know, there are people that are very afraid to use it alone because of that scene in The Exorcist where we know she uses it by herself and then she's possessed by Pazuzu. And then, you know, in 1985 and 1986, the movie Witch Board comes out where they really say, don't use the board by yourself or you've opened yourself up to possession. So, you know, it's changed over time. And now something started out as a date game. Something that, you know, was supposed to bring people together is now, you know, warns you there's all these Ouijasticians. And Hasbro came out with the new Ouija board last year. And so for many years, when Parker Brothers owned it, the tagline, it's just a game, isn't it, was there. And now if you open the Ouija board, right on the inside of the box is a line that says, do not play the Ouija board if you believe it's just a game. So it's very interesting.
Really? That's an interesting tack to take. Pazuzu, that's the demon that they used in the movie The Exorcist. Isn't that interesting? So very close to the Zozo or Zaza phenomena we're discussing this evening.
That's right.
Yeah, very strange. All right, let's go to the wild card, line three, Eric in Knoxville, Tennessee. You're on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi there. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I started hearing you guys talking about Zozo, and I was intrigued by it, and then it jarred a memory from my childhood. Is that my part of our family lore was that my, you know, when my mom was a little girl, and, you know, she's playing with the Ouija board with her two sisters. And, of course, they got around to asking who they were going to marry. And it said that, you know, one would marry a David, and she did, and one would marry a Chuck, and she did. And then the last one, the only one to give two names, said that she would marry a Quentin Yozo. Now, maybe they, you know, she remembered the name wrong, or maybe it was, you know, playing around with the words a bit. But she never did marry a Quentin or a Yozo, or even a Quentin Tarantino type. But it was then, you know, it just kind of dawned on me when I heard this story, and I, you know, was unaware of the whole Zozo being a thing. But maybe they encountered something, and, you know, and then a, kind of a part two, you know, for the guest is, you know, when you get these things attached to you, what would you recommend to kind of help unattach them or break loose any kind of permission you might have given them?
Bob, Darren, do you have an answer for that?
I get asked that all the time. And honestly, religious provocation is what's worked for me. You know, regardless of your beliefs, you know, I think that it's very common for people to, and important to involve themselves in some type of protection before going into a Ouija session. But in a lot of the experiences when, you know, people encounter Zozo, then they have those after effects and paranormal type phenomena that they suspect may be due to a spirit attachment. You know, it's important that if you think that's happening, in my opinion, is to cease, you know, communication with Ouija boards to get rid of it. And it's basically up to your own belief system as to what you think will work. I mean, you know, often it does. But in all honesty, I don't have a foolproof way of honestly telling people how to rid themselves of this particular entity.
Well, and from my understanding is a lot of this has to do with the intent, Eric, and thank you for your call this evening. If you go into this, again, with fear and trepidation, this is probably not the best thing for you. You probably don't want to mess with the board, because I find that what you go in expecting is oftentimes what you're going to get. There are some people, our good friend Karen Dahlman, who's been a guest on Darkness Radio and on Coast to Coast AM, has very pleasant experiences. I think she's had just a few strange, weird ones in her career of using the Ouija board, but she usually has great messages. I know the sisters, Tilda and I can't remember the other sister's name off the top of my head. They wrote a book, came out a few years ago, that was basically dictated to them through the Ouija board. And again, positive affirmations, positive stories, information written that way. There's also claims, Bob, if I remember correctly, that Mark Twain communicated through the Ouija board and helped write a few books after his death. So, I mean, there is the positivity side of it. There is, you know, getting good messages and helpful things. And if you're surrounding yourself in negativity and in fear, and you're living in a place of fear and waiting for these things to come to you, that's when people start to see these horrible, you know, manifestations or manipulations. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think intent is really important. And I think kind of what's going on in your head or how you feel. And, you know, like Darren said, there are lots of people who draw on their spiritual or religious affiliation. So, you know, we have people like Chip Coffey, and he wears silver saint medals. And, you know, he says a prayer and surrounds himself with white light when he makes contact through a Ouija board. Other people do the same thing. Some people say prayers. Some people believe in cleansing the board. Look, any of those things that you believe are likely to assist you because they make you feel like you're more in charge, that you are not kind of the victim of what's going on. And so all those things are really important. And, you know, the stories I hear for 20 years are when bad things are really happening, it's when people aren't taking it very seriously. And there might have been a bit of drinking or some other type of influences that were going on. And so people are not in their kind of faculties are not being kind of, you know, really straight. And so all of those things lead into a bad experience. But, you know, as I've said a million times, you know, it's like being on the phone. So the Ouija board is just the tool you happen to be using to make this communication. You know, it could be anything, but it is a Ouija board, and it's been around for, again, over 125 years. So, you know, you're on the phone, we get into a fight, you say nasty things to me, I say nasty things to you, you threaten me. You know, I don't hang up the phone and throw my iPhone out the window and say, I'll never have another one of these in my house again. But that's what happens with a Ouija board, because people really make the Ouija board something else. It's another entity. We give it a lot of power.
Right.
Therefore, we're not responsible. So it's not our fault. We didn't, you know, even though we initiated the communication, even though we asked the question we didn't want to hear the answer to, it's the Ouija board's fault. And if we get rid of it, the problem is gone.
you know, talking about this kind of communication, and there are other tools to try to make communication with the other side. And one thing I think that's important that I've heard from all of the different creators, you know, there's Gary Galka, who created the SB7 and the Melmeter, Frank Sumption, who was instrumental in the Frank's Box, Bill Chappell, of course, again, from DigitalDowsing.com, who did and is still working on things like the Ovilus and the Paranormal Puck and the PX devices. One thing they all have in common is they remind you constantly, when you have a moment like this and something negative is coming through, you're not forced to stay there and put up with this negative message and put up with what's being done. Like with the Ouija board, if you're getting something you're not happy with, you can take your hands off the planchet, put the board back in the box, put it away, you know, put it back in the closet. I always say punish it, stick it under the game of life. That'll confuse it. But put it away for a while. You know, I don't have stories of waking up in the middle of the night and hearing clicking and clacking on the floor, and you open up the door and the Ouija board's walking down the hall, coming back for you, forcing you to play the game. You have the ability to turn it off and put it away. And right. And taking away that power from it demystifies it.
That's right. And look, there's a really interesting two words, or one word in some case, that's at the bottom of every board. Goodbye. And I'm pretty sure that that's there, so that when you're done, you just say goodbye. And I think people forget that they're really in control, that they've initiated the conversation, they can end the conversation. I mean, people will say, you know, don't use these things. You don't know who you're talking to. How, you know, would you ever open the door and let someone into your house that you don't know who they are? And that's a very today, modern society type of thing, where we don't know our neighbors anymore. Like, our neighbors are strangers. You know, we just... our lives are so busy. But it's ridiculous because, you know, I ride the Red Line into Boston every day. Anyone who knows the Red Line, it's a very interesting line of the subway. You see a lot of interesting people. I talk to strangers all the time. You know, you can't not talk to something because you're afraid that of what might happen. I mean, don't cross the street, stay in your house. Realistically, everyone tries to reach out to the other side, whether we believe it or not, whether we want to believe it or not. Everyone has these weird experiences. And again, because the Ouija board's been around for so long, it's often people's experience with it. But again, it's like we're at these events, and I'll ask people, how many people paid a lot of money to be here? Everyone raises their hand. How many people came here for some type of experience? They want to be touched. They want to hear something. They want to see something. Everyone's hands go up. I'll say, okay, how many people believe that when they use the Ouija board, you will have that experience and you will make contact with something? Most hands go up. And then I say, how many people are going to play the Ouija board with me tonight? No hands go up. So it's really funny that people believe it works. They're going to get what they paid for, but they won't touch it.
And I referred earlier to the sisters. It's Tina Fiorda and Tilda Cameron. They're the authors of a book called A Book of Insight. And they, again, use the Ouija board to divine the information that they put into that book. So you can check that out for yourself as well. Let's grab another call. Wildcard line two, John in Iowa. You're on Coast to Coast AM. What did you want to share?
Well, good evening, gentlemen. I wanted to tell you a story here, but real quick first. The board, I got it from my great aunt, and at first it didn't have a dial to use, so I used a shot glass. Well, I'd used it with many people and took it to many haunted places and so-so sites. One night I had a girlfriend at the time, and she was a very devout Christian, and me and her sat down to mess with it, and we invoked something truly evil, and I know it was just because there's nothing I've ever heard on earth like this before. And I have heard of the Zozo, but I mostly got to name them, M-A-M-A-M or M-A-M-A-N. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting there in the bedroom at my mother and father's house one night, and we invoked this thing, and I told it to prove itself after a very heated argument with it. I heard this growl come out of the basement, such a deep guttural growl that it's of nothing of this realm. I asked it for it to prove itself again, and without a doubt, it did it again. And needless to say, me and my girlfriend at the time, we both slept with the Bible that night.
Well, you had mentioned that earlier, Bob, that the mama phenomena, that's another one of these creatures that seems to be out there.
That's right. And, you know, so when you slept with the Bible, Did you feel that ended the experience?
The demonic, I would say it was demonic without a doubt. It subsided quite a bit, not completely.
Mm-hmm.
I have had other experiences, you know, after that, seeing dark figures and whatnot, but they don't come around as often as they used to.
Yeah, and so a lot of people believe that once you open that door, you do see things that you didn't notice before, because now you've kind of made a connection. So I have heard that as well. And, you know, again, it's kind of hard to pull apart, because so many people's first experience with the paranormal is with a Ouija board.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in. Let's grab real quickly wildcard line 5, Scotty in Springfield, Oregon. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us?
My name is Dottie.
Oh, sorry, Dottie. Okay.
Yes,
welcome to the show, Dottie.
Oregon. Yes, about a year ago, I heard somebody on Coast to Coast mention that name, Zazo, or something very similar, and I was stunned, because I'm 73, and in 1962, my husband and I had gotten one of these games with the planchette, and the same thing you're talking about, and my husband was very tired. It was getting late, 9:30 or so, and so I had him close his eyes, and he didn't believe in it, and he put his hands on the planchette. I put my hands on the planchette, and I began to ask questions. Then let me tell you, it had a power of its own. That thing zipped all over the board, and I had never done this before, and I began to ask it different little questions, and then I asked it what its name was. First, I asked it if it was a male or female, and it said a female. And I said, well, what's your name? And it said Ozazo. That's the way I pronounced it from what it looked like it was spelled out, Ozazo. And I said, well, how did you die? And she said she was drowned in a lake. And I said, well, how long ago? When did you live? And she said, 2,000 years ago. And it was spooky, but I didn't feel threatened. And so my father-in-law and his and my mother-in-law used it for a couple of weeks. And then we decided to get rid of it. I was going against my church teachings, and I felt a little guilty about it. It was fun, but there was definitely a power behind that planchette. I know it wasn't me, and I know it wasn't my husband.
All right, Dottie, thank you very much for calling in and being a part of the show with us. Really, really quickly, Darren, do you think we're being too naive to say you could just put it away and shut it out? Do you believe once you've opened that door that they can come through even though you're not using the board anymore?
Oh, definitely, and you know, she mentioned the Zaza. You know, perhaps before the Zozo explosion happened, you know, in 2009 up until the, you know, the current time, there were more stories about the Zaza entity than there were any other entity. And the Zaza entity, strangely enough, identifies itself usually as a female. And interestingly enough, Aleister Crowley named his daughter Zaza, and in a cult summoning practice. According to Aleister Crowley, to summon a particular demon of the abyss, Chromathon, Zaza is used as part of the chant and the beginning and the end of this chant, and it's supposed to be a very dangerous ritual that summons the demon of the abyss.
Well, you got to be careful then. We got to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to hear about crimes and weird stories associated with the Ouija board right here on Coast to Coast AM.